So many of you laughed that we were able to note the effect of your unholy mirth upon the atmospheric conditions about us, and we knew that you first must sorely suffer before your minds in whole should learn reverence for him who came to your aid and respect for us his servants. But I go forward with too much haste. Yet how shall I tell you of our maneuvers? I am keen to make you understand what has happened recently. I speak of things heavenly and hellish, and of powers of spirit, both bright and of somber grey, all locked in strenuous conflict, unseen, unheeded, unbelieved but not unfelt. I do my best with your words and your knowledge of things and make an allegory of what took place. I can do no more than that, but so much I will try to do here and now. Arriving at the three states encompassing earth, we found our first task was one not of annihilation but of transmutation. We curiously surveyed the vaporous conditions and caught sight of the element first to be dealt with. Others had arrived before us and had been at work for centuries preparing. I speak only of that period when first we of the sphere then arrived. There was an ingredient of heavy substance which weighed very heavily upon the atmosphere. It was born of the science of earth and had the effect of raising itself upwards, and then settling down again towards earth and matter, and weighing down with it those who inhabited that region. But it was born of knowledge true if not rudimentary, and much sincerity was mixed in with it. It was this which lifted it upward for the space of these three spheres. But, inasmuch as it was true only of material phenomena, to matter it needs must gravitate once again, having so little of spirit to buoy it upward. This condition we dealt with by expansion. We plunged into it, so to say it, flung far and wide our influence in aid, helped this knowledge to dilate itself to the utmost, and so fulfill itself. Under our pressure thus applied it expanded until the boundary of the material was reached. But the impetus we had given to this material science could not there be stayed. It gradually pressed outward on its own bounds and began to emerge here and there beyond. So that the sharp line, so arbitrarily drawn between material and spiritual, began to sag and to bulge, and here and there a small breach was made small at first, enlarging later. But small or large, mark me, no such breach was ever repaired. The dike once gapped, the steady irresistible pressure, all encircling without, found inlet and, from that time, a steady stream of spiritual content flowed increasingly into your science of earth, and is today continued. So we did not destroy your science by cataclysm, as has happened in the past ages of earth not once nor twice. No. For, cramped and limited as it was, it ministered to progress as a whole, and so we held it to that degree in reverence. So we transmuted it by expansion, and are so continuing today. This work in which the little Lady Kathleen is helping me and my friends may seem but of scant relation to that which I have but now described to you. Yet it is one item in the same operation, and, if you will reread what messages you have received from us, and those who wrote with your hand before us, you will see that what you were able to receive of scientific kind which has been given you. Not overmuch, I grant you, but what you lack is not of will but of ability. I will tell you this however. There are those now being prepared who are more able than yourself for this especial phase of revelation, men and a few women also, of the scientific mind who will be more capable instruments for the work. I shall not be in charge, no, for that is not so much my quality. Each of us goes to those whose makeup is found in sympathy with his own. And so I come to you, my son. I may not speak of science as others of my own degree are able to speak, being so equipped by their training. But what I am I reveal to you, and what I have I give. You, with your sweet graciousness, receive my offering, and so I am both content and pleasured. God his greater grace be to you, my son. We will speak together again of this matter. You be some little spent of strength now. Arnel. And next headline is, The Heavenly Powers Dealt with Religion, Monday, March 17, 1919. 5.417.10 PM. Another element to be dealt with was that of religion. This was the more difficult inasmuch as, while its officers claimed it as a science, and a progressive science, they hampered it with a tether rope to its founders. To speak plainly, you were permitted, as I was, to career never so fast that your ways took you outside the circle. When that not over distant circumference was reached, the rope shortly reminded you, and sometimes violently, if you went too headlong, that you were tethered to the center and must by no means stray too far away. That center was, I say, the founder of the form of religion professed. It was much the same with Islam as with Buddha his system, and not much else with Christendom. We had much to do therefore, because the fair words of religionists made a very good show, and yet had the same effect in operation as those of the old rabbis at the period of Jesus our own Lord. In all cases we, looking into these matters somewhat narrowly and in detail, found that the error proceeded from one grand cause. I leave out the minor factors of greed, of gold and of power, of that strange side shoot of earnestness called fanaticism, of hypocrisy which generates so much blindness in those who think they are sincere. You may read of them all in our own scriptures, of the good men of Israel and of the early Mother Church, as those who fell victim to those same errors did also read them all down the ages. I say I leave all those aside and speak of the one cause as fundamental. We were all one grand army, we of the campaign to earth, and all acted and interacted together. But we also had our departments or service whereon to concentrate our energy and principle. As I had lived in Christendom, to that system of religion I was allotted, and so of that I shall speak now. The grand cause of error of which I speak is this: men spoke of the Christ as the founder of their system. So. But the Christ of whom they spoke was enthroned way back at the beginning of the Christian era, and from thence watched the progress of his church. Whenever men asked what should they do in this case or in that, in order that they should not fail to coordinate their own acts with his will, the answer was, look backward to him and learn of him. And if any man inquired further where he would be able to find the will of the Christ expressed, the answer was that such expression would be found in a book, the book of the records of his acts and words. Nothing but what was therein found was to be believed as his will, and on his will as therein expressed, the doings of Christendom were shaped. And so it came to pass that Christendom became tied with a tether to a book. The church truly was alive with the life of him, his spirit filled it up like the living coursing blood in a human body. But that life was being strangled, and the body began to halt, and at last to go round more slowly in that circumscribed orbit. Truly his words and acts recorded were a most precious heritage. They were meant to be a divine light to guide the church through the wilderness of the ages. But, note you well, the divine light went before the children of Jacob and led them. The book of the new covenant did not go before, but was enthroned behind. The light cast was true light, as from a beacon atop of a hill. But it lighted men from behind and threw their shadows before them. If they would look to the light, they must turn their glance over their shoulders backward. Then they stumbled. It is not an orderly advance to be turning backwards in order to see how to go forwards. That was the error men made. He is our captain, said they, and he goes before us, and we follow him through death and resurrection into his heaven beyond. But for a sight of this captain going before them, they turned round and looked to their rear, which is not, I say, conducive to orderly advance, nor agreeable with reason. So we began to take hold of the bolder sort and help them on. Jesus had pointed onward to the doing of greater works than he had done, and to his presence which should lead men into the truth, not drive them from behind. So some men there were who, heeding this and understanding, made bold to move forward confident in this leading. They suffered at the hands of their fellowmen, but in the next generation, or next after that, the seed they had sown sprang up and bore its harvest. So you will understand, my son, that the mistake men made was to hamper a living, moving life with a book. They regarded that book not as what it was and is, wonderful, beautiful and mostly true, but as both infallible and also complete. But the life of Christ has been continued in the world and is continued today. The few words and acts of him in the book of the four evangelists are not even as the source from which the river of Christendom flows. They are merely a few ripples on its broader tide to show what way it rides to the sea. One men are beginning to see this now and to understand that if he spoke by his angels to good men of old, so does he speak to them today. These men go forward, glad of the beacon light behind, but with greater gladness toward the more radiant light ahead. For there he is today, as he was when he went up to Salem that time. He goes before you. Follow him without fear. He promised he would lead you. Follow him. He may not tarry on your hesitancy. Read what has been written of him in the Gospel. But read it while you march ahead. Do not turn back time and again to the shrine of authority inquiring, as of the Delphian Pythoness, Oracle of Delphi, shall I do this or that? No. Bring the roll of those brief records along with you as you go forward on your journey. Unroll it on your saddle as you ride, for it is a good map for the present stage. If it is in some details obsolete, nevertheless the grand contour of the country is well and boldly set out. There are other maps of later issue. Consult them also and add to the old one what details it lacks, but go forward all the time. And if some seek again to tether you, brace your tendons and set your knees firm against your horse's flanks, and, urging the horse forward, snap the rope with which they would bind you from behind. There'll be plenty, alas too plenty, who, not daring to go forward, have fallen behind, choked with the dust raised by those who have gone onward, erringly choked and fallen by the wayside they be, and sunk into the slumber of death. You may do nothing for them, for still the captain goes onward ahead and calls with brave and clarion voice for volunteers to lead from the front. He shall not call in vain. As to those others, well, there be all enough to accompany them. The dead shall bury the dead, and the dead past shall entomb them in its womb of night. But ahead the dawn is breaking. There be clouds upon its horizon truly, but the glad sun shall melt them into his rays when he is at last quite fully risen. And in that day shall all men see how that, willing to bless his children everyone, the Father has set but one only sun in the midst of the firmament of his brightness. Men view that sun at different angles according as the place of their habitation be to north or south of his heavenly path, and to some he is brighter and to others less bright. Yet he is the same sun, and soul of his kind for earth's fair benediction. Nor does he of himself favor one people with more of his blessings and another people with less. He sheds his rays on all sides equally. It is the free will of the peoples which determines the ratio of their portion, each for each, in the election of the locality of their dwelling. Read this parable aright, my son, and you shall see that if the Christ be son to one creed, he must of necessity be son to all. For a sun cannot be hid over all the surface of the world except that world turn its face away from the Sunday, then he becomes hid truly, and yet, even so, but for a season. Arnold. And next headline is, How the Heavenly Powers Dealt with, Christendom, Tuesday, March 18, 1919. 5.586.57 PM We have spoken to you, my son, of the Christ, and indicated a larger view of him than Christendom has been prepared to approve. Let us now pursue this theme some little further. We of the companies whose business was with the Church of Christendom, we paused a while and were called together in order that we might the better understand the various aspects of our task. Then the Christ himself intensified his presence and became in personal form before us. He stood there in mid-heaven in full view. We were now nearer in state to the earth than we were when he came to us recently, as I have related to you. So that his appearance was now of more material aspect, and also in more detail. Thus we saw his robe plainly. It covered his body to the knees, but not his arms, which were free. It was upon this robe of him that we were set to gaze, because it was made to reflect the sentiments of earth towards him in the various creeds of the churches. I cannot tell you how this knowledge was shown to us except by saying that the light flung aloft by the worship and teaching of the religions of the world, was caught upon that robe. It acted like a spectroscope and divided the rays into their true constituent elements. These we analyzed and, so doing, we found that there was not one true white ray among them all. Everyone was both sullied and also incomplete. We studied this matter for a long time, and then it was given us to understand what remedy should be applied to the case. It was radical. Men had not only taken away from him somewhat of his glory, they had also added other glories not his own. And yet these added glories were of so counterfeit a sort as to be unworthy of him in total. They were glories of wordy titles and attributes, swelling and sonorous in sound, unworthy in reality. Could you, please, give me a few details, Anil? Men called him God, and said he was divine. They said too much and meant too little. On the one part, the Christ is not the only supreme, the one being of beings consummate. The Father himself is not so, but is the highest expression of being man thought of. And the Father is greater than the Christ, who is of the Father, God's Son. On the other part, the Lord Christ is of powers and glories greater far than any of those with which men invest the Father God. The highest of all the beings which Christendom acknowledges is the Father Almighty. These words of attribute sound big with power. But the idea which men infuse into them is poor and small in comparison with the real majesty even of the Christ, as we who speak to you have come to know it. And we are but 10 spheres removed from earth. What therefore must the real majesty of him be? Men say with one breath he is so equal with the Father that he never said. With the next breath men say the Father is Lord of all power. What power have men held in reserve therefore with which to endow the Christ? Men say the Christ came to earth in all the plenitude of his being. Yet they also say that all the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. I will go no further, my son. For I love him so, and worship so humbly at the footstool of his princely throne that such jumble of broken lights focused upon him is distressful to me, very sorely distressful to me, my son. His robe because of this was bespotted with patches of colors which blended not at all in harmony together. If it were possible to damage holiness from outside, they would have damaged him. But the robe of his holiness protected his body and threw back that motley array into the spaces about earth. They did not pass beyond him upward into the heavens superior to that wherein we stood. They were reflected downwards. Thus we read them and took note. The remedy which was revealed to us was no less than this, the demolition of earth's Christ. That is exact truth but has a fearsome sound. It is also a fearsome reality. Let me explain. Some buildings there are badly raised by not very skillful workmen but still capable of reconstruction and repair as they stand. Some are so bad they must be broken up and scattered and new material brought together so that the house may be built from scratch. The only part left is that of the foundations below ground. This latter house is earth's Christ. I say not the Christ, but the Christ of earth's creeds, the dogmatic Christ of Christendom. Such Christ as appears in the accepted creed of Christendom today is unworthy of him as he is. That must be pulled down, its materials scattered all but the deep down foundations. Then new materials will be brought together, and a shrine resplendent and beautiful will rise, a shrine worthy for him to set his throne within, worthy to cover his head as he sits within his throne. This, my son, this that I call to you from where I stand a little way off is no threat. This thing of which I speak to you has already been proceeding for some century and a half past and gone. The demolition is still not quite complete in the countries of Europe, but it is going forward. When he is stripped of the robe of his divinity woven in the looms of earth, then we have another, a royal robe of divinity woven in the looms of the heavens, shot with rays of eternal light, made soft with the silken threads of love divine, and begemmed with pearls of angels' tears, caught up as they fell towards earth when they bowed their heads to look upon the doings of men, caught up and spread upon the pavement before the stairs of the Father his pavilion. There they lay till they became beautiful with the lustre of his love rays and fit to adorn the garment of his Son. For, themselves were tears of a great love. Arnold. And next headline is, how the heavenly powers dealt with the earth's Christ. The parable of Granny and the planets, Wednesday, March 19, 1919. 5:37–7:00 p.m. So this divestiture of the Christ preceded and has a certain relationship to that materialistic progress of science of which we have already told you. Although the treatment of it and of this matter varied in process somewhat, but the end, and our aim, are identical. The relationship of which I speak is seen in the general trend towards the exaltation of the natural and the elimination of the purely spiritual. Science in this matter worked from within outward, and burst her bounds, emerging into the realm of things spiritual. In the case of the Christ, men have been working from without, not filling up, but bearing away the rind, and then the pulp, until only the seed was left. But in that seed is the life, and that will break forth shortly, and much beautiful fruit will become of it. But the human mind cannot be measured with a single gauge the world over in any period. For always there is freedom of will to be reckoned in with the count. So it happens that the total stripping of the Christ as to his divinity is not of universal necessity. We have found it to be that in some communities the people are of such mind that were they to become assured that the Christ was mere man, they would lose all faith in him who guides the universe. So their faith is left to them, but not untouched. Even they have heard whisperings of people who say the Christ was mere man. They are disturbed and, wanting courage to face this matter and search to find the real truth of it, they lay it aside and cling to authority, as if to a shred of wreckage, to buoy them up. Others have boldness too much and say they have solved the riddle of the Christ. The answer is, say these, man and man merely. My son, we who speak to you on this grave matter have also searched it out. Our teachers also are very high, and of wisdom very great. Yet we have not resolved the problem hereto, and they, our teachers, tell us they know more of this high mystery than we do, but not all. You will mark, my son, that while some of your masters theologically lay down the nature and attributes even of a supreme being precisely and with decision, there are those above us who venture not so far when they speak but of the Christ. Well, well, the old ram goes not so sprightly as the kid in his frolicking. But he has of wisdom, as of dignity, more than the kid. Now although there be communities of people to whom is left their creed, yet the rehabilitation of the Christ will come not from them. It will come from among those of the bolder sort, who have gone the length, to their surprise. A little will come from the others, but the mass will come from among them who at least have read with open mind the teachings of those who have taught the mere man doctrine. There are exceptions on both sides, I speak but on general lines. I have tarried about this question because to Christendom it has seemed to be of primary importance. Much pain is caused to many when they hear their Saviour spoken of in terms of seeming irreverence. This is because of their love for him. I hesitate to say it, my son, yet I will say it, for I am constrained to do so. It were well for them if their knowledge of him were great as is their love. For much of their devotion is paid to him through clouds of mist and vapour which are not part of him but are the result of their own imaginings. However sincere these be, they are imaginings still, and their effect on the devotions of those who create them is to dilute those devotions, until their bulk is much reduced. This worship does reach him, yes, but there is a fear blended with it which weakens it. It were, therefore, well if these devout ones could cast aside that fear out of their love and could love him so truly as to be assured that he would not be displeasured by them if they would think about him bravely, although with humility, even if they should, in some small details, chance to err. This do we ourselves, yet we do not fear him, for we know we are not yet competent to understand him whole, and that, so it be with humility and with good intent, we may search out the truth as it is in him without disaster or reprimand. My son, do you this also, and be assured that, as he is of larger majesty than Christendom has ever dreamed of, so is he also far beyond all your dreamings in the perfection of his love. Some say the Christ became incarnate several times, as, for instance, in Krishna and the Buddha. Is that so? No, my son, not in so many words. Before so teaching, a man should first understand the whole nature and content of that entity which is spoken of as the Christ. Yet I have said that this is, even to us and to those above us, a mystery still. That is the reason why, maybe, in trying to explain so much as I know, I shall fall to paradox. So, it is not true to say that the Christ who manifested himself, and the Father through himself, in Jesus of Galilee is the same Christ who manifested through the Buddha, yet it is also not true to say there be more Christs than the one Christ. As the Christ of Jesus is one aspect of the Father Christ manifested, so the Christ of the Buddha is another aspect of the Father Christ manifested. Two further, Jesus and the Buddha are each a different aspect of manifestation of the one Christ. Every man is a distinct manifestation of his Creator. Yet all men are akin. so also the manifestations of the Jesus Christ and the Buddha Christ are both distinct and yet akin. But the Jesus Christ was a fuller manifestation of the one Christ than the Buddha Christ was. Yet both were true Christ manifest. I have spoken but of these two, namely, of Jesus and Buddha. Other manifestations have been and to them all the same words are applicable in principle. It is well, my son, to fling your thoughts afar into the heavens, probing to find the heart of God. But when you grow awry with perplexities, such as this of the Christ, then take the simple record of the life of Jesus and read of him as of a brother and a friend, and you in so doing shall find that, even in his sweet manhood soul, there is divinity enough to serve both for aim and worship. When you have equaled that perfection in your life, then you shall find, over here, that he is still ahead of you. So while you look out into the heavens and aspire, do not forget you have wonders all about you very great, and much sweetness is to be found upon earth for your comfort. Two little girl children played before their cottage door one evening in summer time, while their granny sat just within the door and mended their hose by the light of the candle set beside her chair. Said one child to the other, "That is my planet, up there. It is bigger than all the others and brighter. Which is yours, Mary?" And Mary answered, "My planet is the red one. It is also very big, and I like the color of it, for it is not so cold as the white ones." So they fell to argument as to which of all the planets was most worthy of their admiration. And they could not come to an agreement. So they called to Granny to come outside and show them her favorite planet, for they thought she would prove which was the best planet of them all by her own choosing. But she continued her mending, not raising her eyes even, but answered to them, "No time, my children, Granny is busy mending your hose. And no need, I am sitting upon it. And a very serviceable planet has it been to me, Arnold." And next headline is Chapter 8, Why the Christ Became Incarnate as a Man and Not as a Woman, Friday, March 21, 1919. 5:357:02 PM I will pass by many matters which would be of interest to you, for I do not wish to make my message too long. I will mention one grand cause which has led up to the present crisis of conflict between brother men. This was the tendency to exalt the outer manifestation in matter above the inner and more dynamic activities of spirit. This element entered into every phase of life in the West, and had begun to tincture also Eastern thought and motive. It had become blended, in measure greater or less, with the conduct of business, and had its phases social, political and ecclesiastical, and even art had not escaped its influence. From what I have already told you of the outward and downward course of the evolution of the cosmos into matter and form, this will not seem strange to you. I have also spoken of the Christ in manifestation. I said that on whatever planet he became incarnate or whatsoever state answers to that of incarnation on earth, he went to his work in a form appropriate to those people with whom that work lay. As in reference to place, so also in reference to the period of his manifestation. I speak now of that last incarnation of the Christ in Jesus of Galilee. Men have missed the great significance of the fact that, while in the Godhead there is no divided sex so far as we know, neither male nor female, yet when he came to earth that time, as all times before that time, he came as a man. One, it is this mystery I wish to explain to you. Previously the evolution of the whole cosmos has been towards self-assertion, which expresses itself in form. Spirit, essential and absolute, has no form in any sense in which you of earth understand that quality. In this long period of evolution, now ending, man has taken the leadership, not woman. That is of necessity. Self-expression is masculine, not feminine. A man asserts his own individuality and incorporates his chosen woman within that his individuality. He protects her, nourishes her, claims her for his own against all others. His will is her will, to his will she submits her own. As a man be the more refined of nature, or the less refined, so is this assertion of his will over that of his wife tempered with sweetness and love the more or the less. But such refinement is not towards the masculine ideal, but towards the feminine ideal. Note you this, it is not without its significance. So, to speak of earth, and not of other worlds at this time, The ages have developed this expression of the dominance of strength, bodily and intellectual. This dual expression of strength has been the dynamic element in all branches of progress, political, scientific, social and other. It has been the guiding principle in the life of the world to this time. Man the leader, has been emblazoned upon the banner of mankind. That is why the Christ came to earth not as woman, but as man. The climax has now but lately been passed.